All right, everyone. Well, welcome to another night of Rooted, Growing Deeper in Christ. We're excited to be here and spending some time with the Lord today, of course, and with each other, just growing in Christ. And we're just excited. We're currently working through pneumatology, and in pneumatology, we started discussing spiritual gifts last week. So I'm going to pull the PowerPoint up. Let me go ahead and click share screen. All right, there we go. And I'm pulling it up right here. Boom. Okay. And so we said this week we're gonna talk about what kind of gifts do you have? What kind of gifts do you have? And so we're gonna give some tips. I know Miss Penny, last week you were asking about what are some ways, and so we're gonna talk about that tonight. We're going to dive into this on what kind of spiritual gifts we have. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to get right into it. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for your son, for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. Father, we just pray that you would help us to just grow in you, and we'll give you all the honor for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So what kind of gifts do you have? Let's start off by talking about how you find out. All right. So first, assess yourself. I'm not going to dive too much into that right now, because we're going to go down a little later and really explain what that means. But of course, you can assess yourself. The second is to ask spiritual leadership. Look at what I wrote in caps. Know who knows you well, what they see in you. All right. So you need to ask someone in spiritual leadership who knows you well. When I was asking, you know, the spiritual leadership in my life, there are people like my youth pastor, some of the different church workers that was in youth group. While I was in the youth department, I asked people who knew me well. These are people who knew me for years and could really just, they knew me in and out, and they knew me at my best, they knew me at my worst, and they could make good, accurate assessment. Of course, you want to ask someone in spiritual leadership, so that they can give you a spiritual answer, right? And so make sure you choose that. And then, of course, you can take a spiritual gifts test online. All right, take a spiritual gifts test online. There are several spiritual gifts tests online, and which operate different ways. I would take two different ones and just see what they say. And so after you do these three things, right, you assess yourself, you ask spiritual leadership, and take a spiritual gifts test, then you can now kind of get a good idea. All right. So I know what my spiritual gifts are. I want to share with you really quickly. First off, the spiritual gifts that I was given from my mentors was exhortation. Exhortation, administration, teaching, and pastor were some that all of my spiritual leaders have given me. Ones that I got on my test that they did not give me was teaching, discernment, and evangelism. My worst gifts are mercy, faith, giving, and service. Those are the ones that scored the lowest, right? And so, which is crazy, but I've known that for years, and so I believe all of those have gotten better. Of course, last week we talked about what each of these different gifts meant. Evangelism, the ability to proclaim the gospel with exceptional clarity. Pastor, the ability to shepherd, provide, and care for, protect God's people. Remember that the gift of the pastor does not mean the role of a pastor. You can have a pastor spirit, you know what I'm saying? Service, the ability to help or serve in a broad sense. Teaching, the ability to cause people to learn God's truth. Faith, the ability to believe God for the supply of specific needs. Exhortation, the ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish. Mercy, the ability to have a special ministry to those who are sick or afflicted. Giving, the ability to be very generous with what God has given you. And administration, the ability to discern activity within the body. Okay, so these are these different ways, and so you may find different answers that you may give yourself, the test may give you, and spiritual leadership will give you, and then use those. I kind of make like a little Venn diagram, or I'm not sure what a three what a Venn diagram with three of them are, trend diagram, I don't know what it's called, tri diagram, I don't know, but I would put them in those three and see which ones are in common, you know, and maybe those may be some of the strong ones. And then, but we'll talk more about that here in a second. But assess yourself, ask spiritual leadership, and take a spiritual gifts test. So in recognizing your spiritual gifts, all right, so this is the assessing yourself part, all right? How do you do this? Okay, first ask God to help you recognize what those gifts are. Ask God to help you recognize what those gifts are. If you don't know what your gift is, then ask. What does scripture say? If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, right? All right, God gives us wisdom freely. And so if you say, God, I want to know what my spiritual gifts are, can you help me to recognize what those are? You know, you have not because you ask not. So if you want to know what those gifts are, well, then ask. Ask, okay? Second, use scripture to find out what it says on spiritual gifts. Use scripture to find out what it says on spiritual gifts. We talked about Ephesians chapter 4, which is a good one. And there's definitely several other passages. There's Ephesians 4, 7 and 7 through 16. That's one of the most popular passages in there. Romans, we see in 1 Corinthians 12. And so there's definitely some different passages. We'll dissect those. Don't worry about it. Okay. We'll dissect those passages here soon. Use scripture to find out what it says about spiritual gifts. People want spiritual gifts, but they don't even know what scripture says about them or how to obtain them. Like for instance, when Paul was talking about the sign gifts, everybody wanted the gift of tongues, right? They wanted the gift of tongues. And Paul said, I would rather that you prophesy. I would rather that you have the gift of prophecy. But, you know, he said, if there's a gift that you have and you desire to ask God for it, that's what Paul said to the people during that time. So ask God to help you recognize it. Use scripture to find out what it says on spiritual gifts. Okay. The next is to look at your own past service. Take some time and maybe write down what are some ministries that you've served in. Maybe it's bus route. Maybe it's nursery. Maybe it's helping with events, whether it's set up or tear down or cleaning or cooking, or maybe it's food ministry. Maybe it's homeless ministry. At our church, we had before the pandemic happened, we had a lady at our church who taught sign language. All right. So there's different things that go on, but look at your own past services. That may help you to narrow your scope a bit and say, here is where I have been serving. And it might be able to help you. Okay. Examine clear gifts that you see in others. Okay. That's super, super, super important. For instance, you know, you want to be able to look at someone and say, wow, that person is a really big servant. Like for instance, Colby, that's a gift that I see in you off the bat, is a gift of service. Justin, you and I talking on a private level on some different stuff and about the new journey that you've just gotten on and getting plugged into your new ministry and the excitement in your voice, I can tell you have a servant's heart, right? Miss Penny, that's actually a gift that I believe that you have as well, and how you always were like, you want to be able to play for the church, and you talked last week about how it's singing and ministry and different things like that, and so it's using your gifts. You want, right? Service is defined by the ability to help or serve in a broad sense. So however that means for you to serve. By the way, Colby and Penny, they're both pianists, right? So I think that's interesting. You know what I'm saying? So examine the clear gifts that you see in others. You may say, wow, that person has a servant's heart. Am I a servant? Or that person is a very good encourager, exhortation. Wow, am I a good encourager? So you kind of want to look and you can kind of break it down and say, let me look at others and see how that might apply to myself. Okay? Think about what pleases you or frustrates you in the ministries you currently serve in. What pleases you and what frustrates you in the ministries that you currently serve in, all right? So it's like take the ministries that you serve, make a pros and cons list. and say, well, in this area, I love this ministry that I'm in because of X, Y, and Z. But you may say at the same time, I don't quite like it because of X, Y, and Z. Okay, now you may look at it and say, well, if you are in the sick ministry, but you don't have the gift of mercy, can you see how that's a hard, that can be a hard thing for you to do? You're supposed to try, you're trying to encourage the afflicted, encourage the sick, but you really don't like being around sick or hurting people. It makes you uncomfortable. Well, then you may not have the gift of mercy, and you're not going to find joy in serving in that capacity. It's going to become a burden to you. You don't want it to be a burden. You want to be able to serve with gladness, right? And so you may say, well, that might not be a ministry that I think I'm probably, you know, well-versed at. Maybe I should look at what my spiritual gifts may say that I'm good at doing. And by the way, a lot of the spiritual gifts that you take online, the spiritual gifts tests that you take online, they'll also show you what are some ministries that you may be good at. Or not just ministries, but occupations that you might be good at. It's not, although ministry is the primary focus, right? We talked about spiritual gifts being used for the edification of the body. But it's important for us to think about that your spiritual gifts also affect the kind of worker you are, right? How you are at your job may depend on your spiritual gift. So you might go into, like, for instance, I'm working on clinical mental health. I can't be a good therapist if I'm not good at mercy and I'm not good at encouraging. But what did I share with you guys before? That mercy was a gift that I was not very well good at, right? Very well versed at. And so it's been something that I've been cultivating over the course of the years and trying to get better at making that gift. Like, for instance, giving was at the bottom of my list for my worst gifts for various reasons. But I have worked a long time and I think I've become a very good giver. Not just of my tithe, but of my efforts, my energy, my time, right? Resources. And that was because a lot of people that I saw who had a clear gift of giving were an example to me. And I was able to cultivate my gift on seeing how they were growing in theirs. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I was saying, examine clear gifts that you see in others, and then think about what pleases you or frustrates you in the ministries that you currently serve in. Okay? Then the next part, what gifts do you have or that you have a drive for or that you wish you had? Those may affect it. What gifts do you have a drive for or you wish you have? Going back to that statement that Paul was making, he was saying, man, I wish that I had, the person was saying, man, I wish I had the gift of tongues. And Paul said, well, I would rather you prophesy. But if you have a desire for a gift, then ask God and he will grant, and you know, that he may give you or cultivate the gift in you that you seek or that you desire. So in recognizing your spiritual gifts, what gifts do you have? Or do you have a drive for? Do you wish that you had? And ask God to cultivate that gift in you. All right? Cultivate that gift in you. Oh. All right. Ask. So again, just you already have this written down, but ask someone that knows you well what they see in you. Okay? Here's one. What do people compliment you most on when it comes to ministry? What do people compliment you most on when it comes to ministry? If you're teaching a lesson at church and they're like, wow, you do a really good job of teaching the word of God. Well, then you may want to think about that you might possibly have the gift of teaching. Or someone may say, wow, I see Renique at this event and at this thing, and she's volunteering for this ministry or that ministry. And they may say, wow, she really has a servant heart. Or they may say, wow, Penny went through all these different things, but she held on faith to God. She held on strong. You may say, well, you know what? I might have the gift of faith. Now, I hope you can see that distinguishes from your faith in God as far as from a salvation standpoint, but your ability to continually exercise faith in him, that he will supply our every need, right? So what do people compliment you most on? When it comes to ministry, all right? And then another thing to do is test them. Test those gifts. If you think you have a gift of service, well, then try getting in serving where you can. If you believe that you have a pastor's heart or the gift of mercy, well, then you might want to get into the communications part of your church. I want to write cards for the church, or I want to go on hospital visits or home visits, or I want to be the one to, you know what I'm saying, to kind of really help with those different things. And so I said that, and Miss Penny, you lit up just now, and you're like, you know, you have a big smile on your face. I can tell that that's something that you at least desire, or you have a drive for, that you want, that you want to do. And I will, we can talk about that, you know, of course, as a member of my church, we can discuss that. But they can put those gifts to the test. That's something that you have a drive for, and that you're encouraged to do. So test it. Let me see how I do in the communications department. See how that helps. Or maybe evangelism. You might want to get on the soul winning teams or the outreach ministries. It could be door knocking. It can be homeless ministry. We have at our church the Community Corner, which is a ministry for young families and single mothers, and helping them get the resources that they need. That might be a good place for you to get plugged into. So it's looking around and seeing how you fit in your gifts. And so in order to work, you have to test those gifts out, okay? So recognize your spiritual gifts. You got to test them and see how they work. You may say, I thought I might have this gift, but maybe I don't. So maybe for now, I'll switch to another ministry and cultivate this gift and maybe give that ministry another try down the road, okay? So we're going to talk about talents, all right? I should have wrote the word. You know what? I'm going to fix it right now. I'm going to write the word talents right here in quotations. Talents, types of talents. We're going to discuss that because talent plays a part in the way that you operate, okay? So what we first have was called natural talent. Natural talent. This is given by God through your parents and given at birth to benefit people in general, all right? To benefit people in general. So this is, you know, your type of talents. This is just your natural stuff. What are you naturally good at? Some people are naturally good at sports. Some people are naturally good at speaking. Some people are naturally good at checkers or chess. Some people are naturally good at board games. Some people are naturally good artists. Some people are naturally good singers, right? So these are natural talents that are given to you by God at birth, right? That you just have a natural knack for, okay? Then you have learned talents given by us. Learn through life to benefit people generally. All right. Given by us, learn through life to benefit people generally. So these are talents that have to be cultivated. For instance, I explained to you one of the ways that I've been able to work on the gift of mercy, right, with it being one of my worst gifts, is that I'm working on my clinical mental health degree. And so all that clinical mental health rests on is empathy. Empathy means feeling with someone, right? Saying, I hear what you're saying and I feel what you're going through. I feel the pain. I don't know what you're going through, but I feel your pain. And I can feel that with you, right? And so as I've been working on my empathy skills, my gift of mercy has been able to come way up, and my ability to say, wow, that person's really going through that. And I really feel the pain, right? Bearing each other's burdens, as scripture says, and working on that. And so these are learned talents. Given by us. It's like learning an instrument or learning to paint or, right, learning to sing, learning to play basketball. Anybody can get better at anything if it takes, they put enough practice in, right? So these are learned talents. And then spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit, and they are non-contingent upon your parents. These are given at the moment of conversion. These are given at the moment of conversion, meaning you got saved and the Holy Spirit began this gift in you, okay? Began this gift in you. It doesn't have, no one can bestow this gift upon you but the Holy Spirit, right? So it's given by the Spirit. It's non-contingent upon your parents, and it's given at the moment of conversion. So if you really can hone in on all these different categories, what are my natural talents? What are the talents that I've learned? What are the spiritual gifts that God has given me, right? We said that every believer has at least one of these gifts. They have at least one spiritual gift. And so you look at that and say, man, I've grown in my natural talents, my learned talents, my spiritual gifts. You are now at a place where you are growing to the point where you can really maximize the way that you work in ministry, or the way that you work at your jobs or even wherever you volunteer or in your relationships, knowing all of your talents, your gifts, your spiritual gifts, these may be able to help you be the best you that you can be, okay? So spiritual gifts, all right? They are given by the Spirit, right? Kind of what we mentioned before. They're given by the Spirit. So they are distributed by the Spirit as a result of the risen Christ. And so what made a way for us to have spiritual gifts? That was Christ dying on the cross, sending the Comforter, right? Pneumatology, we're talking about that. Sending the Comforter and him being able to bestow these different gifts upon us as he teaches us, guides us, helps us to become better Christians, followers of God. He not only gives us these spiritual gifts, but cultivates those gifts. So as you grow in your sanctification, you will grow in your spiritual gifts as well. So learning and finding out those spiritual gifts early will in turn help you to apply those spiritual gifts as well. All right? They are limited to the will of the agent. Right? They are limited to the will of the agent. What you are given, right? What you are given, they are limited to the will of the agent. This is the gifts that you've been given, that were given to you by the Holy Spirit. So the spiritual gifts, so everybody won't have all the spiritual gifts, right? Some people may be crazy and, you know, they may have just an extraordinary walk with God, and they maybe by the end of their lives be well-versed in all of these different gifts. But most people won't have them all, just not built that way. It just wasn't something that you were given. And so other people may even be better at it than you are. And so so it's limited to the will of the agent. What you get is what you get, okay? Limited to an extent, all right? Meaning what capacity it's being used in. What capacity it's being used in. Check this out. It's not enough to just have the spiritual gift, but it's knowing how to use the gift. It's knowing how to use the gift. Some people will have the gift, but they don't know how to use it. It's limited to what capacity it's being used in. For instance, if someone is an electrician, they will not be a good plumber. You don't have plumbing skills. You didn't go to school for being a plumber. So that means that the talent that you have, that you've developed as far as being a well-skilled electrician, doesn't carry over to you being a plumber, right? So it's limited. There are levels to it. Of course, they can go as far as the Holy Spirit allows them to go, but there's a limit. They're limited to an extent, okay? And that's why it's important to not only know the spiritual gift, but know how to apply it, which also requires you to have wisdom, right? Ask God for it. Limited to a time. Certain gifts have a time limit on them or a time frame. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 says this, "When that which is perfect shall come, that which is in part shall cease, whether they be tongues or whether it be prophesying, they'll be done away," right? Then he says, you know, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became an adult, you know, when I became older, I put childish things away. 1 Corinthians 13 is a very great passage to look at that. We see that some spiritual gifts have a limited amount of time on them or a limited time frame on them. And of course, there are subsections to all these different gifts that happen, but we're going to dive into some of those as we continue to traverse through pneumatology. Okay, so spiritual gifts, how are they developed? How are they developed? Christ and the Holy Spirit are sovereign in how gifts are distributed, right? Christ and the Holy Spirit are sovereign in the way that spiritual gifts are distributed. Meaning, they have the right to give you a gift and they have the right to not give you a gift. So they're developed based on what you've been given. You can't develop something you don't have, okay? In development of gifts, he works through the human being, right? So God through the Holy Spirit, he is intimately working in you to cultivate and polish that spiritual gift that's within you, right? scripture, for, of course, from a salvation standpoint, but also through your, through the way that he works in us. He says then that, that God will continue the work in us that he started. He will continue and he will finish the work in us that he began. And so in development of spiritual gifts, we see that he works through human beings. How? Well, first through their desires. We talked about that. What do you desire? He can work through somebody who's willing, right? God, use me. Send me, I'll go. Isaiah chapter 6, right? Send me, I'll go. He desires their, you know, it's their desire, excuse me. Their desires help them to have those gifts cultivated, that willingness, all right? He works through their limitations. Some people can do things because they're 6'8". I am not 6'8". I'm only 5'9", all right? So I don't have a whole lot of height on me, right? And so there are things that tall people can do that I can do, like reach the shelf. I can reach the shelf, but I need help. I might have to get a chair or a stepladder, right? Their ambitions, you know, the things that they strive for, the things that they work in, right? What you know, the fervor they have behind that. And then their self-discipline. How disciplined are you, right? Kobe, you and I were talking about discipleship, and people have to want discipleship. I told everybody at the beginning of this class that if you will stick with me through all 10 doctrines, it'll be a long journey, but if you'll stick with me through all 10 doctrines, man, you will really be well-versed. You'll be really well-versed in your Bible. You'll be really well-versed in your word. You'll have a great, well-rounded understanding of the Bible and scripture. But that requires you to be disciplined. It's not convenient to grow. It's not convenient to disciple. It's not convenient. You have to work for these things. And that's very important, okay? Through how they think. He works through how they think. Spiritual gifts were given by the early church. We saw that as a whole. Of course, in the Old Testament, people had a whole host of gifts that we don't have today. Like Moses being able to throw his rod down and it becoming a serpent, and then grabbing it by the tail and it becoming a staff, parting the Red Sea, raising the dead, immediately casting out demons. We see healing people, the lame, the blind, the sick. We see a lot of these different things happening where they had these supernatural gifts, slaying giants with a stone, all kinds of different things were able to happen. But these spiritual gifts were given to the New Testament church at the early church. So Acts 2, we really begin to see this take place. Then through how they think, mindset is a huge deal. Feeling as though you cannot do anything good until you know what your gifts are. Feeling as though you can't do anything good until you know what your gifts are. I want you to write an X next to that. I want you to write an X next to it, because that is not true. That is not true. Some people feel, I can't do anything for God because I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. Well, that's not true. Just because you don't know what they are, don't mean that they aren't already in effect. If you are saved and know Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, that spiritual gift is already being working within you. And so you're going to have to ask God to reveal those gifts in you, because just because you don't see it doesn't mean they aren't already present. Okay. So what I'm going to do, that's the last thing we have for tonight. And so what I'm going to do is I am going to unmute everyone so that if you have questions, we can clear some stuff up. Anyone have any questions or need me to go back or share some things? I've unmuted everyone. So does anyone have any questions or need me to go back? Okay. You got something, Miss Penny, you need me to go back to, Colby?
No.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
Okay, so Over time, working in my job profession, mm-hmm. God has, and I've talked to you about this before, but how God has placed things on my heart and given me a burden for a specific service of ministry.
Sure.
And even though I have other learned talents and gifts, the burden that is on my heart, I feel like, even though I'm not going to neglect the learned talents, I feel like that the burden that he's placed on my heart for the particular service that he's calling me to and guided me to, I feel like that's more, not that the two are any more important, but I feel like one may be more urgent, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of them take precedence. And you don't, just because, and check this out, just because you don't use that gift as much as the other one doesn't mean that you're wasting it. You know what I'm saying? Those gifts, all of your gifts that you have will have its time and place. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Let's say you have the gift of administration and you have great, strong leadership skills. Well, there may be some times where you have to take the back seat and be number two.
Right.
Or be in the back. And it doesn't mean that you're wasting your gift of administration. There's just a time and mm-hmm. place for it. And so I definitely understand your feelings and maybe saying, well, I don't want to feel like I'm wasting my learned gifts. Well, they still have a time and place. God will raise up a time in you for you to apply that gift when the time comes for you to apply it.
That makes sense.
Yes, sir. Miss Penny, anything? Renique?
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Is spiritual discernment a gift or is it a different kind?
I absolutely believe that spiritual
discernment. Does teaching and discerning go together sometimes?
Well, you have to be able to discern in order to teach.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, you know, just between an apple and a fake one, right?
Sure. You got to be able to, the Bible, Proverbs is huge on that, on get wisdom, get knowledge. And what the thing about it is, discernment is a gift that I believe every believer should strive to have. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible, the King James uses the word discretion more than discernment. But we should strive for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, for discernment. So knowledge is getting information. Wisdom is applying that information, and discernment is knowing when to apply it, right? So for instance, an illustration that I use, I can get on YouTube and learn to change my oil. Wisdom says when my car is over 5 months or 5,000 miles, then I need to change my oil. Discernment says don't change your oil every day. You see what I'm saying? And so as you grow in your discernment, your ability to now teach begins to completely quantify exponentially, you know? So absolutely, Miss Penny, a gift of discernment. And I believe that discernment is a double whammy, because I believe that Christian maturity is rooted in obedience, not time. But time also does take place and help in your maturity as well. So although it's not rooted in time, it's rooted in obedience. As you continually show obedience over time, you will continually cultivate the gift. You see what I'm saying? They kind of piggyback off of each other. Yeah. Great thoughts. Okay. Next time that we get together, we're going to unpack some of the more controversial gifts. I'm going to talk about tongues. We're going to talk about physical symbols. And then we're going to talk about some instances of these things, prophecy, some stuff like that. We're going to look at a lot of scripture next week, a lot of scripture. And then next week should wrap up pneumatology for us. Okay. So you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight on Rooted. We hope you have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next week at 8 on Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.